So we discussed some things about the dikduk of how we say brachot. We're going to discuss a few more of them, because the Gemara says, "Mi brachotos shel adam nikarim talmid chacham hu." If a person says brachot correctly, you could see that he is a talmid chacham and he knows what he's doing. The Gemara has a machloket, Rav Nechemiah and Rabbanan, whether we're supposed to say hamotzi or motzi. Okay, in one place in the Gemara has this. Do you say hamotzi? That means the past. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and Hashem took the bread out of the ground. That's why we say hamotzi lechem en haaretz. That's one opinion. That's the Rabbana. Rabbi Nechemiah says, no, you say motzi lechem en haaretz. What are we posik? We're posik like, of course, hamotzi lechem en haaretz. And that's in Kupsari, Samach Zayin. Okay, over there, the reason is we want to show there's two reasons. Tosfot's reason is we want to say hamotzi lechem en haaretz instead of motzi lechem en haaretz. We don't smush together. We want to smush together the words hamotzi. Olam and hamotzi. The mem of olam and motzi. We don't want to say olam motzi. So smush the mem and the mem. So that's why we separate them. The Rosh and Pesachim says, we have in other places that sometimes you have two opinions, you want to be yotze both opinions. We pick the opinion that we're posek like, not to be yotze both opinions, to show the chidush that we follow the opinion hamotzi works. We pask in Rabbanan say hamotzi works, and therefore we say hamotzi lachman haaretz. Okay, that's the Rosh. The question is, the Taz brings up, why don't we say we should do moti lachman aretz, which the Gemara is clear, works according to everybody. Right? If you say moti lachman aretz, Rabbi Nechemiah agrees, and Rabbanan agree. Why do we say hamoti, it only works for the Rabbanan? Why do we say something as a machloket? So the Rosh says, okay, because we want to show a chidush, that we pass him like this opinion. And the Gemara, in fact, has a story that, just like this, Alam Echadim at Aleph, with Rabbi Zeira, the rabbis were praising Rabbi Zeira. And he told him, Rebbe Zvid said, oh, you say he's an Adam Gadol, bring him to my house, I want to test him out. So he brought him to his house, and he served him some bread. And Rebbe Zeira started making the bracha, Baruch Hashem Elokein Ba'olam, Motzi Lachem En Haaretz. He skipped the hay. And he says, Zeh Shomrim Alav Adam Gadol Hu. Rebbe Zvid said, this rabbi, you think he's a big Talmid Chacham? He doesn't know how to make a motzi. The Gemara says, but maybe he did it to be yotzei all the opinions. He said, for Rebbe Nechemiah and Rabbanan, you say Motzi Lachem En Haaretz, it works for everybody. Why are we having tainas on him? The Gemara says, because we show chidush in our bracha, we know exactly the words we're saying, and it's going to be yotzei, the opinion, even if it's not yotzei everybody, it's yotzei according to the way we hold. That's better to say it that way. Taz, though, has a question. It's a stira in a different Gemara in brachot nun bet. It says over there, what do we say when we say barachu? Do we say baruch Hashem avarach? And everybody responds, baruch Hashem avarach? Or we just say baruch et Hashem. Do we say Baruch Hashem Amarach or Baruch Hashem? We of course say Baruch Hashem Amarach. Alam va'ed and everybody responds. Question is, it was Machloket, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, and then they invited one time Rav from Bar Papa to the shul to be the chazan, and he got up and said Baruch Hashem, and he stopped right there. He didn't say Hamavarach, and everybody chimed in Hamavarach. You should say that. Rava made fun of him. Black pod, somebody who doesn't understand, why is he making like an earthenware kli, like he's making a bracha, he's saying the barchu without hamavorach. And why? Because even though we're posek, Rabbi Akiva says brachu Hashem, you don't need to say hamavorach, but why are you picking sides? Rabbi Shmuel says you say hamavorach, even though we don't posek Rabbi Shmuel, you should also follow both opinions, just say hamavorach, what do you lose? That was Rabbi's question. So says the Taz, I don't understand. We made fun of Rabbi Zeira because he was picking both opinions. But over here, we're making fun of, we're saying it doesn't make sense to follow Rav from Bar Papa did, because he actually did like one opinion, the one that we're posting, like Rabbi Akiva over Rabbi Shmuel, because in the end of the day, he could have done like both. Which one is it? Should we try to do like both or try to do like one? That's the question that the Taz has. And Taz says, actually, it depends on each machloket, which one's a bigger chidush. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, it's Yaduah, Halachah, Rabbi Akiva, Mechaver, we always pass on Rabbi Akiva. So it's not a chidush to tell me Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, it's better actually do like everybody, because it's obvious what the halacha is. Rabbi Nechemiah Rabbanan is actually more mistaber, the svar of Rabbi Nechemiah, the particular case in the Gemara. So it was a toss up. In that case, it's better to show the chidush. The chidush is like the halacha, like Rabbanan. Okay, that's the Taz's answer to that question. It brings up a different question. The Magen Ora says, should we say Bore or Habore? Or should we say Habore preates or Bore preates? Of course we say Bore. But the Machzeh Shekels is the same question of Motzi and Hamotzi. Same question. So on this, so we make Hamotzi, so it would only be consistent to say Habore preates. That's the Machzeh Shekels question. And the Magen Avraham in the beginning of Reish Bet. That was in Kosari Zayin, Samal Zayin, where it talks about Hamotzi, but in Reish Bet, we're talking about Berei Priyat. Why do we make Berei Priyat, not Habore? He quotes one answer, the Lechem Chamudot, who says the answer is, we only need to show one chidush per bracha. It's sufficient if you say, if we say the bracha of Hamotzi, and we don't need to say Habore. Okay, the question is like, it doesn't really, you're going to have a bracha of Berei Priyat, so you didn't say any chidush in that bracha, and you're going to say Hamotzi, where you did say a chidush. Like, why does it make sense? Like, sometimes we'll say a chidush, you don't have to say a chidush always. That's a difficult answer. The other answer could just be, we're really ikar posik lactosa, we don't want to really, we always say the opinion that we're posik, like the bigger chidush, and the reason we do Hamotzi, as opposed to Motzi, it's just, even though it could be used of both opinions, it's just because not to put the letters shouldn't be smushed together. Okay? Basically, this is a big thing to think about. When do you try to be Yotze all the Shito, and when do you Bedafka try to do one? Taz, the answer is whichever side in each machlok will be a bigger chidush to do, that's the one you do. And a couple of them are in places. The other places of Al Biru Chameit and Liva Eir Chameit, we do Al Biru Chameit, and that's only one opinion. Yes, so that's on Zion in Psachim, right? But the Rosh there is his question was, why don't we do the opinion of Levi Erchametz Tzotzei for everybody? And so his answer is, oh, it's a bigger chidush. You have to try to put all this sugyot together. But that's the maskana. We do Borei Priyat and we do Hamotzi Lachman Aret. The explanations we tried to between the Taz and the Lechem Chamudot. Okay, that's the different. And then the last thing was the Magen Avraham says, when do we talk about the bracha? Do we do the past or the future? So he says, the Gemara, which we're just talking a lot about, the Hamotzi and Motzi, it's talking about the past. Hashem took the bread out of the ground. Hashem did this in the past. So we're talking about the past. So that's the same thing we should say.
Might it be also the present?
It could be the present. It's okay if it's present, but the Gemara's language is only. Whatever, the Gemara's language is only in the future or in the past. The Gemara sort of doesn't discuss, in this machloket at least, the present. Present, so now, the Mechachma Manoach, that the Magen Avraham quote says, really all brachot are present. They're neither past nor present. When the Gemara says past, it really means present or past. Bore is not, if you say bara, brachot Hashem Magen Avraham, bara preets. Bara is past. What's bore? Bore is present. So he says the same thing, which is shakol nihye bidvaro. With the segel, that says the Chachma Manoch, because you want to make it present. You know, Shakol Nihiya with the Kamas, the way we say, is the past. So why should we do the past? We should do the present. You want it to be Yotze both ideas. Is Yotze, it could, when you say the present tense, it could also be, it was in the past and continued in the present. But that's much better than saying, than just in the past. That's the Rabbeinu Manoach wants to come and say, not Rabbeinu Manoach, Chachma Manoach. Rabbeinu Manoach is a commentary on the Rambam, Rishon. He is the Chachma Manoach, the Achron, that the Magen Avraham quotes. They should do Shakol Niyeh with a segel, because you want to be present. However, the Magen Avraham is posek, that we say Shakol Niyeh, because we want to be, the Gemara says, pass, so that's what we do, that's what the Sfaradim are posek, Shakol Niyeh B'dvarav. Okay, that's all the Dikstukim. Now we're moving on to more Halachot Brachot. Okay, what about mixed wines or other types of wine, like sweet wines, people can get any time, you can get around Purim, whatever, when it's diluted with other things. Before we get to water, what about other things? Says the Tashbit quote in the Ramah, but it's in the Be'yosef. Be'yosef doesn't disagree with this. Halacha Berurah points that out. Here we accept it. It says, Shechar, if you mix beer and wine, Azlunam Acharo, if you go by the majority. And the Taz has a question. He says, there's this principle, if you want to get something to eat, please feel free. There's a principle called Tam Kikar. We follow the taste of something. If someone has, so it's important for kashrut about scotch or other things are made from whiskey, beer, whiskey, distilled, they're not from grapes, but things are made from grain or rum. Things that are not made from grapes, So the question is, so all the ingredients are kosher. The grapes thing we have to deal with maga akum. A non-Jew makes grape juice or wine, that's a problem. What about if it's whiskey? That's not any not kosher ingredients. There's no problem with maga akum. But the thing is, if they have the sherry cask, and they put it in a cask where it had bleo, it had absorption of the wine taste in the wood to get absorbed into the to the whiskey or the scotch, whatever. So then it makes it taste better. So you should say Tom Kikar has a taste. Okay, that's a long. It's a, everybody agrees it's a concept called Tom Kikar. You can't cook. Let's say I have pig and I throw it into the cholent. Even though I took out the pig, it's asur because Tom Kikar. We say it makes it taste like whatever you cooked in there, and therefore even if you took it out, you're not eating the actual thing. But that's asur. The Gemara learns it from basar b'chalav. It has the taste. It's not kosher. Or the gulay non. You have to. We learn from clay minyan. We had a war with minyan. We won the kelim. And Moshe tells us you have to kasher. You have to clean out kosher tavir be'ish. Tavir be'ish. You have to kasher the kelim. Why? Because the taste in the walls are going to make things not kosher. Okay. Now what about the cherry cask? So Moshe has a tshuva that he's posek that it's batel. The amount of flavor that comes in. It's only less than 1/6. Now, usually do 1/60. When it comes to wine, other means 1/6. That's what he says about tel. Now, still he says you shouldn't put a hechsher on it. So you have to be a chacham. You have to ask sometimes to know exactly which ones are what. But generally, they don't put a hechsher on it because they don't want to say it's 100% kosher. It's not 100% kosher. It has something else in there, a flavor that was batel. Either way, what's the bracha on something that's mixed? Wine and something else? The Rama says it goes by rov, majority. If it's majority wine, you make hagefen, majority beer, or whatever, it's going to be shakol. And Taz says, why don't we go by tam? You could taste it. Sometimes even less than rov. Why do you only look at rov? So he says, oh, tam ki kar is going to have a clash between something that's kosher and something not kosher. So we say the not kosher item, or whatever the item that has a status in halacha, it's going to win because it has tam. It has a taste, and then automatically overcomes it, overpowers it, is dominating. As opposed to two brachot, they're conflicting. Each one has their own status. This bracha, but why is this bracha hagefen any better than the shakol? It's not fair. They're both equal. So there's no such thing as tam ki kar when we talk about brachot. That's the Taz's. We only talk about when we talk about kosher versus non-kosher. One's more important than the other. He says he has another precedent for this. This is not a problem. This is interesting. When it comes to matzah, if you make matzah, now we don't do this really. It's not our minhag, but in theory, you can make matzah from wheat, and then on different grain like rice or something like that. Rice? And you can make, yeah, the Gemara says.
Doesn't the Mishnah say that they only can, stuff that can be chametzim outside 5 grains?
Yeah, it has to be the 5 grains.
So rice?
Yes, yes. So the Gemara says it has to have a taste of the wheat. It could be mostly rice, but taste of the wheat. 1/6 wheat, and the rest rice, and every kazayit of that is yotzei, your matzah. Now, that's what we're posing, but that's based on tam. Tam ki kar, the taste of the wheat makes it like it's completely wheat. I mean, okay, that's not the way we make the matzah today, but in theory, that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchot Challah, and it, meaning when we talk about Hilchot Challah, we want to know is something hamotzi in terms of taking off hafrasha challah. So if it has a taste, sometimes people make it with other ingredients. We'll get maybe one day to what bracha do you make? But if you add eggs or sugar to the dough, do you still make hafar shachala? So that's clear from the Shulchan Aruch. If it has a taste of challah, you're going to make hamotzi. You're going to take hafar shachala. Even on parvah kisnin, we have hafar shachala. Okay. Now, what about so the Taz opinion? It goes by. It doesn't go by time. It just goes by rov. Problem is. And that with matzah is good because the wheat has a status in halacha. You're yotzei mitzvah matzah. The rice has no status, and therefore this one's dominating. When there are two things, two brachot, and then one's dominating, then we go by rov. That's the Taz. The problem is that in other places in Hilchot Brachot, in Reish Dalid, the Torah is talking about a sugar-coated nut that has more sugar than the nut. Not so healthy, but that's what the Torah says it would be bracha of the nut because it has the tam of the nut. So what if you taste the sugar? So that, you see, we talk about tam. And the same thing when we talk about what bracha achrona do we make on parvah kisnin. Even though, let's say, when someone makes a cookie or a brownie, there's a lot of other ingredients. Everybody knows. It's not even majority flour. It's much closer to minority flour. When you have like a brownie, it's like 20%. It's like very little flour. Because there's so much oil, sugar, other ingredients. So what bracha achrona do we make? And the minhag olam we follow is if there's 1/6 of flour, we say there's tam of the wheat, so then we make bracha achrona. You see, we go with tam kikar. Okay, so we'll have to try to get back to that. questions that we have on the Taz, and everybody agrees with the light and with the idea of the Taz. The Rabbein, the Magen Avraham has a different idea. He says, why did the Rama only talk about Sheikhar? And he says, he thinks he's talking about the Stam Sheikhar in place in Halakha is Sheikhar Tamarim. It's not beer, what we're used to. It's beer made from dates. He says, only beer, maybe the Rama is only talking about beer from dates, but if you start actually missing other liquors with wine, as long as you could taste it, even if it's not majority, you don't go by majority, as long as you taste the other flavor, you don't make a gefen, you mix any liquor, arak, vodka, whatever, with wine, as long as you taste the other one, it's diluted, the wine, and you don't make a gefen. That is a big chidush, because it's not what it's really mashma in the Tashbetz. The Tashbetz says it's a klal gadol in brachot. When you have two things mixed together, we say, Ikar v'tafel, which one's the main one? Whichever one's the main one, we make the bracha on that one. So he says, what happens when you have two things that are the main thing? What happens when you're eating a salad and you like both things? Or eating rice and broccoli, rice and chicken, and you like both things? Which one do you make? So there it says in all the poskim, in ratio, bad, that's what we talk about, Ikar v'tafel, two things, which one's dominant? It goes by majority. That's in Reish Chet. Also, when we're talking about rice, and not the five grains, but rice and other ingredients. Sometimes they have rice cereals, lots of foods that we have rice in them. Rice cereals or lots of Captain Crunch, lots of foods that'll have some rice flour in it. So rice is not as powerful as the five grains. Five grains we make mizonon, even if it's a small amount, but you taste it. As opposed to rice, it says in the Rosh, it says in Shulchan Aruch and Reish Chet, it goes by majority. If it's majority rice, you make mizonah. No.
It doesn't have to be taste, or just it gives it texture. It gives it like a structure.
It probably has to have a taste. Now, it probably when you have a majority, you probably will taste it. Or it could be.
He said only a sixth is necessary. Like in ranch, not always tasted. It's so sweet and so sugary. So
yeah, so that's an important thing. The Taz thinks it doesn't matter based on taste. When he says five grains is a klal. Even if there's no taste. However, Mishnah Bura, Halacha Bura say no like that. They say it has to have a taste. So I would say probably most of the cake and cookies is probably going to have that. But I don't know. It could be something doesn't have that. It's possible. Okay. So then we had this Magen Avraham who says distinguishing between only beer from dates as opposed to everything else. Everything else, when you mix it with wine, you don't make a gefen because the other flavors, the vodka, whatever, something, the other liquor is going to mask the wine and therefore you don't make the bracha. However, Eliyahu Rabbah and the Taz, the Prima Gadam notes the Taz we were just doing, didn't sound like it had anything to do with specifically this versus that, specifically the beer of dates versus the other ones. He said all the drinks are the same. When you have two things, you like both of them, you go with a majority. Whichever one's the majority, you make the bracha on that one. If you have a majority wine, you make hagef. And that's a halacha beraz posek, that if you had, sometimes you can find a wine that's a sweet wine, has peach juice, some other flavors in the wine. If it's the first ingredient, it's the wine, you make hagefen because that's considered the majority. Everything else is tafel.
So you said that there's a far that no ikar with tafel, both of them are not right, but some achot are more chashuv than others, like saying gefen.
So the brachot being more chashuv than the others, it's just in terms of like order, which one goes first, nation out. But that it doesn't mean in terms of like ikar v'tafel or which one's going to win over the other. We don't say which one's more chashuv in that respect. Okay. So then, what about other liquors? Let's just go through them. I don't know so much about them. You help me out. Things that are made from wine that are just distilled wine, arak. Other things that are distilled wine, they're made from grapes, cognac or something like that, brandy that's made from grapes, things like that. So the Mor Katsia, who's the Rav Yonatan, Yaakov Emden, he says his father Chacham Tzvi was Ashkenazim, but they're a rabbi of a Sephardi community in Amsterdam, 1700s, and then the Yaakov Emden, end of the 1700s. He writes that he thinks cognac should be hagefen. What's the difference between that? And we talked about other times, cooked wine. Cooked wine is hagefen. Same thing over here. The Chida says, also 1700, similar time. He says, no. The difference is when you cook wine, it still tastes like wine. And the Tosfot that we follow says cooked wine is ishtani lemal yuta. It changed for the better. It got better, it preserves, it stays better, and therefore you still make a geffen. But when you cook the distilled wine, when you make the distilled wine, you cook it and cook it so many times, or for so long, whatever it is, the process, so that it becomes that. The idea is that when you make alcohol naturally, when you make wine, it ferments. The yeast, the bacteria inside the wine kills itself. It only can grow up to 14% alcohol. That's the natural way you can make alcohol, because with too much alcohol, the yeast doesn't keep, it stops growing. So what they do, when you cook it, when you distill it, you're evaporating some of the water out of it, and it becomes more concentrated alcohol. So you can have it 40%, 60%, whatever, very extremely high percent with arak or something like this. So what's the bracha? So Chida says, no, you change the taste. Once they distilled it so much, 40% alcohol, whatever, 50%, you hardly taste the wine in it anymore. I hardly have tasted these things in my life, but I agree. It doesn't taste like wine. It tastes very different. It's like licorice. It tastes something else. So, therefore, even the ones that are made from grapes, we make shahakol. That's the minhag, like the chida, the Kaf HaChaim, Halacha Berurah, Yalkut Yosef, Chamavadja, they all come out. We make shahakol on cognac or on these other liquors. The ones that are not made from grapes, for sure, the ones that are made from other grains, rum, the scotch, bourbon, I don't know, the other ones that are made from corn or from other things, or sugar, that's rum, whatever, those ones are for sure shahakol. Those are no question, they're like a drink. We talk about meperod, we talk about fruit juices, those are shahakol, so that's no question, those are shahakol. Okay, a bracha on a meal. Do you make a bracha on arak in a meal? Do you just make shahakol in the middle of the meal? So it's not in Reish Bet, that's really in Kuf. Ayin Zayin, much earlier. The answer is, left in Mem Aleph, in the Gemara Brachot, the answer is, if it's part of the meal, you don't make a bracha. Not part of the meal, you do make a bracha. And on that, the Chum Avadya is posaic. The Magen Ram says, oh, sorry, you should make a bracha, because it's not to fill you up. It's not to help, or maybe it is to help you digest. That's one of the sorot. But maybe it's just because it tastes good. Why do people drink that rag? Because it tastes good. That's not, they don't drink it because they're thirsty. Water I drink because I'm thirsty. That's why Tosfos says we don't make a bracha on water in a meal, because I'm thirsty. So I eat and then I drink. So it helps me digest it. But a rag is like for the taste or something like that. So that's why some say you do make a bracha in the middle of the meal. However, we quoted all Yitzchak from Salonika in 1700s and a few others, Chida and Ravadi quotes them. They all say we don't make a bracha in the middle of the meal. Our minhag is we don't make a bracha on any drink in the middle of the meal, because it could be it helps digestion. It could be one reason or the other. Our minhag is we never make bracha on the meal. It's part of the meal. Okay, so we don't make a bracha except for grape juice. And the grape juice, wine, you do make a bracha in the middle of the meal. So it would be hagefen you make in the middle of the meal. Shakol, we don't make for juice. Okay, just to start the next sif and to finish, if you have, it's very quick just to this point, the boser is grapes that are not ripened. So there, Tosvot on Lamed Zayinam Abed in Brachot says, it's Brit Pri Adama, because it's not part of the main fruit of the tree. It's not what I intended to eat from the tree. There we make Adama, not Brit Pri Eitz. Now, what are these? So Tosfot has a size. So if you're not sure if they're Pul HaLavan, that's the size of a white bean. I don't know if what exactly size the bean is. The Magen Ram says they're bigger than our grapes today. So I don't know what the size of the bean they were talking about. But the Bach says because of this Safek, we're not sure how big our grapes are, if they're considered ripe or not ripe. We should always make Hadamah on all grapes. So that's obviously not our Minhag. And the Minhag is, we follow the Mishnah Berurah and others. If it looks ripe and sweet, Chatam Sofer, they all say this, we make Habrei Eitz. That's our minhag. Even on the Concord grapes, our types of grapes are very, very small. They're less than a Pu'alavan, for sure. Less than a bean. It doesn't matter. You still make Ha'eitz. Just because it started as ripe. Basically, all the things you're going to buy in the market, they taste sweet. They're not ripe. You're going to make Ha'eitz on them. Okay, we'll finish with this. Chazak Baruch. On this, if there's a lot of lumdud, a lot of sorrow about the not ripe grape, but it's not so common that we have this. Okay? How's that going?